Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamot Sadi Gimel. We're on Sadi Beis Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud. Working to catch up today, shorter Daf, so we hopefully will be able to catch up a certain amount today. Here we are in the 10th parak of the Masechta, covering an extraordinarily sensitive topic, and that is that the husband went away, didn't come back, and whether or not she has ability to remarry, and based on what information. The first part of the parak, which we've covered already, going all the way back to Pei Zayin Amud Beis, talks about what happens when the information is that only one witness comes back and says that he can report that her husband died. And that one witness doesn't have to be kosher. It could be a woman. It could be hearsay. It could be aid me pi aid. Anyway, so she's getting very, very weak reporting. Can she remarry on the basis of that weak reporting? So the answer is yes. However, she also has to do an investigation. We're going to be discussing this at the end of today's daf, beginning of tomorrow's daf, in terms of the expectation of her investigation that she needs to do. But in order for her to remarry, she has to have an investigation, because in the event that her husband, in fact, does come back and the reporting was not good, so then there are going to be a lot of consequences, 16 consequences in total, as we already enumerated in the first Mishnah. Yesterday, we went through the second Mishnah, Sadi Beis Amud Aleph, and second Mishnah detailed the scenario where there's reporting, and the reporting was good but not accurate. And her husband went away together with her son, and they both died. And in terms of who died first, so she got wrong reporting. She was told that, well, one died before the other. That's clear, but who died before whom? So that part is important. It's a critical piece of information. Because if her husband died, then her son died, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. If her son died and then her husband died, then there is a mitzvah of Yibum. And obviously, that will inform her in terms of what her next step is going to be. If there is a mitzvah of Yibum, obviously her brother-in-law now has a Zika, as we've been discussing the entirety of the Masechta. If there is no mitzvah of Yibum, so then her brother-in-law to her is an Erva. So obviously that is really consequential information. And the Mishnah outlined what exactly happens if the information that comes to her is wrong, and she acts incorrectly based on that incorrect information. Okay. Yesterday, on the top of Sadi Beis Amud Beis, we opened up with a really basic question, something that we touched earlier in the Masechta, but here in Sadi Beis Amud Beis, yesterday's daf, so the Gemara discussed it was straight out, and that is there tfisas kedushin by Yevama? Okay, so again, let's go over some of the basic things that we already know. If it's a lav in the Torah, let's say, for example, a divorcee to a Kohen, Grusha LeKohen, so we know that there is tfisas kedushin. Torah says a Kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, however, if he does so, there will be tfisas kedushin. Now, that's it's good and bad. It's bad, obviously, because he violated the Torah. It's good, on the other hand, because with tfisas kedushin, that means that the child is not a mamzer. Okay. We know, as we've gone through numerous times throughout the Masechta, Rabbi Akiva disagrees on this very point. Rabbi Akiva is of the position that if it's a lav, there is not going to be tfisas kedushin. As a result of that, for Rabbi Akiva, every child that's going to come from every illicit union is in fact going to be a mamzer. Now, as we already pointed out yesterday, that is an oversimplification of the Shita Rebbe Akiva. Go back to Memtes and here in our Masechta, and we're going to get three viewpoints of Rebbe Akiva. So, the way I present Rebbe Akiva is a simple view of Rebbe Akiva, but it's not a complete view of Rebbe Akiva. Anyway, so we know that when it comes to a lav, so the accepted halacha is that there is tfisas kedushin. And even though you violated the Torah, but the marriage is, in fact, acknowledged, it works, and the child is not going to be a mamzer. If, on the other hand, the woman is prohibited to you because she's an erva, so under those circumstances, there's no tfisas kedushin, and the resulting child is, in fact, going to be a mamzer. Okay, that we all know. A yevama. So a yevama now is bound to her brother-in-law. Okay, and until he does either yibam or chalitza, she's now going to be a yevama. Having the Zika, having the connection to her brother-in-law. Up until that point in time, she is not allowed to be with another man. She's not allowed to accept kedushin from another man. So is there or is there no tfisas kedushin from another man? So before we get to yesterday's daf, what would we have thought? What would I have thought? So what I would have proposed simply is that there's a Zika. It's a prohibition for her to be with another man. However, there's no, there would be tfisas kedushin. What are we talking about over here? There's a lav for her to be with anyone else. So the Torah's description over here is that lo seitzei, Isha Lachutza. Sorry, I didn't do a great job quoting the Pasuk. But in other words, it's a lav. It's just a simple negative prohibition that she cannot be with another man while she has a zika to her brother-in-law. And so therefore, if she accepted kedushin from another man, if she, in fact, married another man, so there would be tfisas kedushin. That's what we would have thought prior to yesterday's daf. What did we learn yesterday's daf? So at least the shita of Rav is that there's no tfisas kedushin. Amar Rav. Look at the top of the Amud. We're just going to pick it up right from the top. It's a good place to start. Amar Rav, minayin shein kedushin tofsin be yavama. How do I know there's no tfisas kedushin by yavama? Shenemar lo siye isha samesa chutza. Lishar lo tehe ba havaya lazar. Okay, so I could have just looked in the Gemara in order to get an accurate view of the pasuk. Regardless, the pasuk says Lo Siya Eishas Nameis Achutza, that Lo Siya is telling me what? So it's telling me a lav. However, Lo Siya also tells me that there's no havaya. Havaya is typically used to describe kedushin, meaning that according to Rav, this is going to be exceptional. Meaning, despite the fact that it's a lav, and normally a lav there is tefisas kedushin by the case of Yivam Lashuk. There is not going to be tefisas kedushin. It begs the question, which the Gemara does not address, but I'll ask it, and that is according to Rav. Let's say our Yavama marries another man while she's a Yavama, and they produce a child. Is that child a mamzer? Okay, so the pause over there probably opens up to a machlokas rishonim. So the best answer, and in this particular case, the correct answer would be it's machlokas, meaning the Gemara itself does not address this question. The Rishonim debate this very question. It's a pretty straightforward question, meaning if there's no tefisas kedushin, shouldn't the resulting child be a mamzer? Now again, according to Rabbi Akiva, every lav is going to result in a mamzer, but over here this is exceptional, meaning it's a lav. At the same time, normally there would be tefisas kedushin. According to Rav, this is an exception because of the pasuk. Okay. Anyway, let's just leave it. It's a machlokas Rishonim. Okay. It's a more than fair question to ask. And not an easy question to answer. Okay, so that is all according to Rav. So therefore, according to Rav, Yavam Lashuk, despite the fact that it's a lav, there is no tfisas kedushin. Good. Then we saw yesterday the sheet of Shmuel. Let's just keep reading. It's good review. And anyway, it's a good place to start. It's a good place to continue. Shmuel Amar, we're on Sadi Beis Amud Beis. We're four lines down. Bani Yusenu Tzricha get misafke le Shmuel. Halosi Eishas Chet ila lav hu da'asa. Idolo tafsiba kedushin hu da'asa. According to Shmuel, it is unclear in terms of whether or not what the Torah is describing is simply a lav, or is what the Torah is describing a reality. Okay? Meaning one way to understand the pasuk is that it's just simply telling you don't do it. Meaning, but like any lav, even though the Torah says don't do it, but if you do it, it will be consequential. Meaning the marriage will take place. Or maybe no. Maybe what the Torah is telling is Losia, it's talking about the reality. The reality is that she can't accept kedushin from another man, meaning like the sheet of Rav. So what Shmuel is simply saying is, I don't know. Meaning, I don't know if Rav is right. Maybe he is, but maybe he isn't. And therefore, in the event that she accepted kedushin from another man, so what's going to be required? A get. But not because we know a get's required, simply because of suffek. Yep. Amalei Rav Mari Bar Rachel Rav Ashi Hachi Amar Meim Halach Kavasid Shmuel. So the Gemara has a mistake that the halacha is in fact like Shmuel, meaning the psak is suffek. Okay? It's a funny psak, but we simply don't know, and meaning we follow the sheet of Shmuel. I'm Rav Ashi Hashadar Marameh Mehilchza Kavasi de Shmuel. So now that we know the halach is like Shmuel, so now the following. Let's go over the following scenario. We have a Yavama, happens to be that her late husband's a Kohen, which means that obviously her Yavam is also a Kohen. It works out that way, right? They are paternal. It has to work out that way. They're paternal brothers. If they're sharing a father and one's a Kohen, the other one's a Kohen. Now, we already discussed earlier, I don't want to get off base, but we already discussed earlier, one could be a legitimate Kohen, the other one could be an illegitimate Kohen, otherwise known as a Chalal. So there is that possibility, but right now we can just keep it nice and simple. So the original husband was a Kohen and the Yavam is a Kohen.
The Kohen himself is not really a Chalal. He has a status of Chalal, but you won't call him a
Chalal.
Why not?
I'm not following. It's my fault for bringing up challah. It didn't need to be brought up over here. Okay, let's just go on. They're both good kohanim. Okay, I'm Rav Ashi Hashda. I'm Rav Meir Hilchasa Kavasi Shmuel. Im Haya Yavama Kohen. So now let's go over the following scenario where the Yavam is a Kohen, right? Yavama meaning her Yavam. If let's say her Yavam is a Kohen. Okay, so now what happened was is that our Yavama, so she went a little bit off the derech. literally, figuratively, she went a little bit off the derech and she accepted kiddushin from another man. She shouldn't have done that, but she did it. Now, what's going to happen under those circumstances? So now, what do we learn? So we learn that she should be receiving a get from her husband because misafik, meaning we don't know, meaning either there is no tefisas kiddushin, which means the kiddushin was zero, or there was tefisas kiddushin and a get is required. So let's say her yavam now is a kohen. So here's what you can do in that circumstance. Now, what she did already was wrong. In other words, she already made a poor decision accepting kiddushin from another man. But chol etzla v'shar yaleh. What our kohen yavam now could do is he could give her chalitza, and now that would allow her to be with her husband. Why? Because consider, he's a kohen. So once he does chalitza to her, so what does that make her to him? Prohibited. Meaning a chalitza is now going to be prohibited to the kohen. And now what she could do is that she can remain with her husband. Okay. Huh? No, in other words, again, the case over here is that her husband died. She accepted kiddushin from another man. She shouldn't have, meaning she's the yavama. She shouldn't have, but she did. According to Shmuel, the halacha is that a get is required misafek. But what the Gemara now is proposing is that if, let's say, in the event that her yavam was a kohen, so then now the yavam could do chalitza to her, and now break the zika, and now she can remain with her husband, with the man that she accepted kedushin from. Gemara is not in love with the suggestion. Itguri itzkar. The Gemara says, really, you're rewarding poor behavior, and imke matinachot iniskar. We never like rewarding good behavior. We never like rewarding poor behavior. Meaning, if somebody makes a choice, and now you're gonna advise in terms of what he can do in order to validate that poor choice that he made. Not recommended. Elim hayivam Yisrael nosin la sheni get v'huchrola. So the Gemara says no. But rather, here's what I would rather suggest. What I'd rather suggest is that let's say the yavam is a regular Yisrael. And now she accepted kedushin from another man. Again, she shouldn't have done that. But over here, let's not reward the bad choice. In fact, let's say the following. You're Yavama, meaning what does the Torah want from you? The Torah wants you to be with your Yavam. Either Yimam or Chalitza, but in other words, you went in the wrong direction. You accepted kedushin from another man. Again, the halacha is like Shmuel, which means what? Which means that we're not sure whether there was, in fact, kedushin. So what you're going to do is you're going to receive a get from that other man. If and when you receive the get from the other man, which that will encourage you to do, now you're allowed to be with your yavam. Okay, so the Gemara says that's a preferable avenue. There we're not rewarding her for her poor choices. In fact, we're cleaning up the mess, if anything. Okay, Amrav Gidol Amrav Chia Bar Yosef Amrav Yavama Kedushin Ein Ba Nisuin Yeshba. Okay, so the Gemara makes a really difficult statement in terms of how to interpret. The Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav, that when it relates to a Yavama, Kiddushin ain't la, but Nisuin Yeshba. She has no Kiddushin, but she has Nisuin. Now, what? Meaning, again, this is the Shita of Rav, which consistent to what we learned at the beginning of today's daf, Rav says that there's no Tfisas Kiddushin by a Yavama. So over here, first part of Rav's statement, good, makes perfect sense. A Yavama is unable to accept Kiddushin. But you know what? Nisuin Yeshba. But she's got Nisuin. At this point in time, everyone should be doing a double take. Well, if there's no kiddushin, then there shouldn't be nisuin. Kiddushin is only about the first stage of marriage. If there's no first stage of marriage, so then it goes without saying, or it should at least be a simple argument to make, that there should be no second stage of marriage. What is happening over here? Gemara formulates this very question. E kiddushin ain't ba nisuin nami ain't ba. So Gemara says, I can't possibly understand what's happening over here. Without kiddushin, how could there possibly be nisuin? There should be neither. So, Ema, Kedushim, and Nisun, Ema. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are we going to do with the statement of Rav? So we're going to do one of three things. One is we'll edit it, because it just simply doesn't make sense. So with a little bit of editing, it'll make sense. The first way to approach it is just simply edit the statement of Rav, and that is that when it comes to the Yavama, there's no Kedushim, meaning she cannot accept Kedushim from another man, nor obviously is there going to be Nisun from another man. That's approach number one. Eba, Yisema, the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe we won't edit the statement, maybe we'll reinterpret the statement. So my nisuin yeshba biznus. So the Gemara says that when we say nisuin, we don't really mean nisuin. It just simply means that if she's with another man, so that means that if she's going to be, that will be consequential. How will that be consequential? So this is a statement we already seen numerous times in our Masechta. happens to be we're going to be seeing it again, and that is Kedar Rav Hamnuna. The Amar Rav Hamnuna Shemaris Yavam Shezinsa. Let's say we have a Shemaris Yavam and she's Mizana. She just simply was with another man while she was a Yavam, while she was a Yavama. So Asur Li Yavama, she now becomes prohibited, meaning quasi-adultery. Meaning, just like we know that when it comes to an adultery, a woman who commits adultery is prohibited to her husband. Similarly, Rav Hamanuna says, same thing with the Yavama. Yavama now has a quasi-marriage with her brother-in-law, even at the stage of Shmira. And as a result of that, her act of Znus would result in Isser. She will be prohibited to her Yavam. Now again, that in of itself is not going to terminate the Zika. In other words, at that point in time, he has to do chalitza to her, but Yibam is now off the table. No longer an option. So what Rav is saying is that, look, she can't accept Kedushin from another man, meaning that will have no effect whatsoever. But if she's with another man, so that will make her prohibited to her Yavam. Ibai Seima, the Gemara says, or maybe we'll suggest the following. Lo'olam kedamar mikara, Kedushin imba nisuin yeshba. So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe what we'll do is that we will actually leave the statement of Rav totally unedited and without any reinterpretation. Meaning, let's take Rav for his word. There's no Kedusha when it comes to Yavama. We already understand that. Meaning, Lo Siyeh Eishes Hames HaChutza is telling us that there's no Havaya. There's no Kedusha. Good. Let's leave that as it is. But when he says there's Nisuin, what did he mean by that? So the Gemara says what it means is as follows. Let's say she does nisuin with another man, even though kedushin did not take effect. But if she does nisuin with another man, you know what it's similar to? Similar to a woman whose husband went overseas, and with a little bit of reporting and a little bit of investigation, she went ahead and she married another man. Again, married over there in quotes. She married another man. Her original husband returned, and now, under those circumstances, quasi-adultery. And again, all the ramifications that we learned in the beginning of this perek. This scenario, what Rav is teaching us, is similar. It's obviously not the same, but it's similar. Meaning that she is, quote-unquote, married to another man. Again, it's a quasi-marriage. It's a yavama. But she's quasi-married to another man. And then she is, quote-unquote, marrying another man. A lot of quote-unquotes, I know. But she's marrying another man. So it's similar in nature. It's so similar in nature. What Rav is teaching is that basically we're going to apply all the consequences we learned in the beginning of our perek are going to be applicable over here. Okay. So far, where are we right now in today's daf? Actually, pretty straightforward. A Yavam who accepts Kedushin from another man. Work or not work? According to Rav, no effect whatsoever. Drush in the Torah. According to Shmuel, it's a suffix. Within the suffix of Shmuel, what happens if she does accept Kedushin from another man? Get me suffix. And then the Gemara went over a couple of cases of what if a Yavam is a Kohen, what if a Yavam is a Yisrael, she accepts Kedushin from another man. According to Shmuel, what should be the course of action? Good. Fine. And then the statement of Rav that even though there's no Kedushin by Yavama, there is Nisuin by Yavama. What did Rav mean by that? Okay. But right now we are in just a simple, straightforward debate in the Gemara. When a Yavama accepts Kedushin from another man, does it take effect? Yes or no? So according to Rav, no. According to Shmuel, suffix. Rabbi Yana says Nimnu v'gamra. They had a vote. Okay, in other words, Anam Achlokas. So we're going to find this a number of times in the Gemara, and that is that obviously you need a psak. So we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, we do have klalei psak. We do have general rules of psak by Rav and Shmuel. So halachik Rav beiser, halachik Shmuel beMamanus. That's your general klalei psak. But over here, they took it to a vote. Okay, they must have had a lot of Yibam scenarios, right? We have Yibam scenarios in the aftermath of tragedy, right? After World War II, after the Holocaust, after 9/11. So there we have Yibam scenarios. On a normal basis nowadays, we don't have much Yibam scenarios because we just longevity. It's just people live longer. Meaning back in the day, it was just unfortunately much more common for young people to die. So obviously, Yibam was a much more prevalent and relevant halacha that they had to deal with. Anyway, so Vigamru in Kedushin Tovsin by Yavama. Okay, so they had a vote. There's no Tfisus Kedushin by Yavama. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lomishna Senuizu. So Rabbi Yochanan said, isn't it a Mishnah? Meaning, basically, the Gemara says halacha is like Rav. Okay, meaning machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, "Well, we got together, we voted. The halacha is like Rav." Rav Yochanan now comments, "Hey, I'm going to show you a Mishnah, and after learning this Mishnah together, I think it's pretty obvious. Meaning, I just think it's a Mishnah. Meaning, I appreciate the fact that we all got together, we voted, we paskin, but I'm just going to share with you a Mishnah. Mishnah reads as follows: So a man and a woman start having a relationship. Just small issues. For example, he's not Jewish. She is. Okay. As I've said already numerous times in the past, it happens. It happens. So Harayad Mekadeshos Le'achashes Gayer. So he wants to be Mekadesher. Now, Halacha is not going to recognize Kedushin at all. He understands that. So he says, look, here's my plan. My game plan is I'm going to convert. I'm going to give you the Kedushin now so that when I convert in the future, the Kedushin will take effect. Now, I would say retroactive, by the way, but how far back retroactively can you go? He's going to be the different person. But yes, your point is well taken. Hold that thought. Okay. So, la'achar is shetis gairi. Or let's say he's Jewish, she's not. So he's going to give her the kesef kedushin and say, look, this is now for the future. Meaning, after you convert, this money that I'm giving you now should take effect. La'achar sheishtachrer. La'achar sheishtachri. Again, relationship is formed between a Evan, non-Evan. Doesn't matter which one's a man, which one's a woman. At this point, when one's an Evan, one's a non-Evan, prohibited union. However, forecasting the future, when you get free, when I get free, the Kedushin should take effect. Or, let's say, after your husband dies. Meaning, happens to be that you identify the woman of your dreams. Problem is, currently, right now, she's married. Okay? A small problem. So the, but what you do is you give her Kesef Kedushin and say, look, in the event that when your husband dies, this Kedushin will take effect when I retroactive. Again, I say retroactive, how far back can you go? In other words, currently she's married. But in other words, I'm giving you the money now, and when you're first available, good. This money should now work as Kesef Kedushin. Probably not going to be healthy for a current relationship, but that's a rabbinic issue. I'll withdraw from that point. Alternatively, or let's say the following. Currently, right now, I identify the woman in the dream. Problem is, I'm married to her sister. Okay, so small problem. But I give her the Kesef Kedushin now, and when your sister dies, because remember, by sisters, so that's the only exception where, when one dies, you're allowed to marry the Erva. Right now, currently, your sister-in-law, your wife's sister is usher to you, but when your wife dies, your sister-in-law becomes permitted to you. So you give her the Kesef Kedushin now, in anticipation of your wife dying. Okay, so, Ola Achash Yachlus LaYivimech, let's say the woman's a Yavama. And she's not your Yavama, but in other words, but you took a fancy to her. So you give her the Kesef Kedushin, and you say to her, look, after, once you receive Chalitza, the money that I give you now should take effect. So in all these cases, Eina Mikudeshes. So there's no Kedushin. Okay, now. There it is. Meaning, we now have a scenario in which there is no Tfisas Kedushin by a Yavama. Of the one of many cases that are covered in this Mishnah. Okay, now, it could very well be, and I hope you're thinking in this direction, that there's an entirely different issue over here that is governing this Mishnah. And that is that you're trying to make a kinyan on a future. This is what's called the Davar Shelo Bal Olam. So if you're thinking that, you are headed in the right direction in terms of your thought. What I'm going to ask you to do is hold your thought. We're going to come back to that. Right now, the Gemara thinks that this is going to be educating us, informing us that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by Yavama. So, Amr Lei Lavdi Dedaile Lachas Bami Mishkachas Marganisa Tusei, a great expression. Had I not lifted up the shard, would you not have found a pearl underneath? Meaning, I opened your mind to the thinking. Meaning, yes, it's true, it's a Mishnah. But when you when you went through the Mishnah and you didn't and you weren't guided by my thought, that there's no Kedushin by Yavama, you just would have read the Mishnah, and you would have just, I don't know, you wouldn't have thought it through. Once I opened your mind to the thought that there's no Kedushin, there's no Tfisas Kedushin by Yavama, now you go back to the Mishnah, you're like, oh, it's a Mishnah. Yeah, of course. In other words, after I taught it to you, you saw it in the Mishnah. But before I opened your mind, you wouldn't have seen it in the Mishnah. Okay. Amalei Reish Lakish, Yilav Dekalsech Gavera Bahava Aminalach. So Reish Lakish says, look, you got high praise from none other than Rav Yochanan. And I like that. But I'll tell you the truth. I'm ready to give an alternate interpretation to this Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva here. So first of all, I could tell you that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva, Damrein Kedushin Tovsin Bechai Velavin, meaning, look, you want to teach me this grand Chiddush that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by Yavam Lashok, and what I could tell you is that maybe the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. Now, Rabbi Kiva holds that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by any Lav in the Torah, meaning our Daf today, really yesterday's Daf, but our Dapim are really telling us that even though we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, but there's one notable exception, and that's Yavam Lashuk. That's a lav, and there's no Tfisas Kedushin. But what Reish Lakish says is that, look, you got so excited by that Mishnah, I'll just simply tell you that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, what does that do? It undercuts the entire Chiddush. Because the Rabbi Akiva ki amar lalacha shiach lo se yivim eich lit fese bekidushin dashamin le Rabbi Akiva damar adam davar makne shalo ba lo olam. So the Gemara says, well, if in fact we're going like Rabbi Akiva, so then meaning the cases in the Mishnah are all trying to make acquisitions on future events. What do we know regarding Rabbi Akiva? I know that according to Rabbi Akiva, there is a kinyan on Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, meaning you can make a kinyan on a Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. And how do I know that? Because of the following. Let's take a look at the Mishnah in Nedarim. The Mishnah reads, Konem Shani Osa Laficha. Ain't sarach lahafir. Let's say there's discord in the marriage, and the wife says to the husband, "Konim shani osa laficha. Anything I make is going to be asur to you. Okay, anything I produce in the future is going to be asur to you. So does that need hafara? Yes or no? So ain't sarach hafara. So it does not require hafara. Rashi says, "Kevan dekamishabda le lemaisi ada lo matza nadra. She can't make a nadra on it because she already is. Promise that to her husband, meaning it's called Maisei Yadayim. A man and woman get married, so there are contractual obligations between husband and wife. He's got obligations to her, she's got obligations to him. One of her obligations to him contracted in the Ksuva is Maisei Yadayim. Anything she produces is going to go to her husband. Her earnings are going to go to her husband. Okay, good. So she tries to make a neder on it. She can't. In other words, already promised and committed to her husband. So she cannot make a neder on that. So even if she tries to do so, it don't work. Rabbi Kiva Omer Yafer Shematadi Falav Yosem and Avraylo, and Rabbi Kiva says no. He should be made for the neder. Why? Because it could very well be that her earnings may exceed. Okay, there is a discussion. We're going to get to it in Ksuvos. We're going to discuss it in more detail in Ksuvos. Is that the earnings that she makes is in fact going to go towards him? It is quid pro quo. It is a transactional obligation. That her Maisei Yadayim go to her, he has to support her mizonos. Let's say she's a good earner. She's making a lot of money. And her earnings are going to be far in excess of the mizonos that he's providing for her. And the Gemara in Ksuvos gives out dollar figures in terms of how much we expect the mizonos to go from him to her. Anyway, let's say her earnings are more than the mizonos. So okay, the surplus, the excess of her earnings, can she keep it? Again, discussion in Ksuvos. We're going to assume right now the answer is yes. So now, are all her earnings now meshubah to him? No. In other words, only that up to mizonos. Anything above that is hers. So now when she makes a neder, the neder can take effect on the excess. And as a result of that, he should be made for the neder. Okay. Underlying this entire discussion is what? The idea that she can make a neder on a future. That's a kinyan. And a davar shelo ba'al olam. This is the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So, you want to tell me that the previous Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why that's problematic. Because I'm looking at our Mishnah over here. Our Mishnah is of the position that you can make a kinyan on a davar shelo ba'al olam. So the previous Mishnah was assuming you can't make a kinyan on a davar shelo ba'al olam. So it would be really difficult to assign the previous Mishnah to the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Ha'it marla, the Gemara says, okay, fair, but... Meanwhile, when we learned the Mishnah in the Darim, we made the following comment. Am Rav Huna Breder, Rav Yishua Bar Amasi, Kashi Yadai La Oseyem, Di Yadai Misnu Ba'olam, Ba'ama. So the Gemara says in interpretation of that Mishnah, when she says that my earnings, anything I produce will become Aser, which sounds like the Neder is going on a future, no. Actually, what the Mishnah means is that my hands are going to be Aser to you. Meaning, and anything that my hands produce will be also. But the neder is not going on the production, that which is produced, but rather on our hands. Yadayim isnu ba'ama. Right? It says the lashon of the Gemara is Yikachi Yadai li osehem. Osehem for the one who made them, meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tosus gives that shot. Anyway. Fine. Upligi de Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Damar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So, where are we right now? We are right now in a, we're going to get sidetracked and it'll take us through the rest of today. The sidetrack is basically the following. We started off our daf today talking about whether or not there is a tfisas kedushin by Yavama. Okay? If she accepts kedushin from another man, which she should not do, that's clear. But if she accepts kedushin from another man, does it take effect, yes or no? Rav says no, Shmuel says I don't know, suffik. And therefore a get is required, me suffik. Good. The Gemara then went and passed in the halacha. The halacha is in fact like Rav, there's no tfisas kedushin by Yavama. Good. Then the Gemara says, I have a Mishnah. The Mishnah about trying to create a future transaction. Transaction happens to be, the Mishnah was talking about Kedushin. I want to be a Mekadosh, a woman that currently is unavailable to me, but in the future she may be available to me. So what I'll do is I'll just give her the money now for when in the future she becomes available to me, she's mine. One of the cases the Mishnah was describing was a Yavama, which means that currently, if you give her Kesef Kedushin, it will not work. A Mishnah that supports the Shita of Rav, that tells us that our Pesach is right when we Paskin like Rav. Good. The Gemara now is going to go off-road because an alternate Pesach in that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. But if the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva, doesn't Rabbi Akiva subscribe to the view that you can make a kinyan on a Davar Shalom Bala Olam? So that means to say that even though you're giving money for a future, according to Rabbi Akiva, wouldn't that work? And what the Gemara now says is no. Rabbi Akiva does not hold that you can make a kinyan on a davar shalom bala olam. The Mishnah and Darim, we're going to reinterpret it. The Mishnah and Darim, even though it sounds like you can make a kinyan on a davar shalom bala olam, and the Mishnah and Darim is clearly going like Rabbi Akiva, but maybe you're not, the neder is not going on that which you produce, but rather it's going on the hands, which are currently here. Okay. And so now, from this point going forward, for the rest of today's daf, a simple discussion. There are Tanaim and Amoraim who are of the opinion that you can make a kinyan on a davar shalom bala olam. Most of the time, when we're going to go to a daf and we're going to talk about whether you can or cannot, the general position we're going to be taking in Shas is ein adam makna davar shalom bala olam. You can't make a kinyan on a future event. Kinyanim can only be done transactionally on that which is currently present, but not in the future. However, here's what we're going to do today. We're collecting, I counted. We're collecting 8 positions amongst Tanaim and Amoraim who are all of the opinion that you can make a kinyan on a davar shalom bala olam. The Gemara starts off. Upligi de Rav Nachman Yitzchak. This is in disagreement with the Shita of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Damar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Here we are. Let's just simply rattle them off. Rav Huna, Kirav. Rav Kirebi Yanai. Rav Yanai Kirebi Chia. Rabbi Chia Kirebi. Rabbi Kirebi Meir. Rav Meir Kirebi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Kirebi Akiva. It's great, by the way, because also we get a Shalsholos over here. We get a Mesorah of Rabbi Talmud. Okay, so it starts with Rav Huna, right? An early Amora, right? His Rebbe was Rav. Rav's Rebbe was Rebbe. Okay, and it goes from Rav Huna to Rav to, I'm sorry, I skipped a lot of steps. Rav Huna to Rav to Rebbe Yanai, to Rebbe Chia, to Rebbe, to Rabbi Meir, and read to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, all the way up to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so this is basically from Churban Beis Hamikdash, approximately, historically, Rabbi Akiva, and takes us all the way to the beginning of the Tekufa of the Amoraim, of Rav and Rav Huna. Okay, and it sounds like, by the way, that it's like, it's one school of thought, meaning that the general position is, Ein Adam Matan Davar Shalom Bala Olam, but there exists this one school of thought, Rabbi Talmud, going from Rabbi Kiva all the way down to Rav Huna, that holds that you can make a kinyan on a davar shalom bala olam. And what the Gemara is going to be doing now for the rest of today's daf is we're just simply going to now, we're going to footnote, meaning where do we see all these Amoraim and Tanaim subscribe to this viewpoint? Rabbi Akiva damar adam makna davar shalom bala olam. Rav Huna mahi. Okay, so we'll start with Rav Huna, meaning we're working our way backwards historically. Rav Huna is, from our perspective, the most contemporary. I say that he lived about 1,800 years ago. But anyway, but the most contemporary, Rav Huna Mahi. Did Mar Mocha Peres Dekel Echaveiro, a person selling the fruit of the palm tree. And Amar Rav Huna Ashel Abal Olam Yachol Achzer Bo, Mishabal Olam Yachol Achzer Bo, Rav Nachman Amar, Av Mishabal Olam Yachol Achzer Bo. So, according to Rav Huna, so once the fruit have materialized, you cannot retract on the sale. The sale was made earlier. Yeah, but Rav Huna is of the position that you can make a kinyan on a future. And once the future is here, once the payros have come, so now that's it. The sale is complete. It's been finalized. Now, Rav Nachman happens to disagree. Rav Nachman says no, because Rav Nachman subscribes to, let's call it the conventional thinking of in adamakna, davishal abal olam. So if you try to make the transaction at an earlier point in time, it simply will not work, according to Rav Nachman. Our focus for today is not on the Shita Rav Nachman, which happens to be the accepted halacha, but our focus today is on the Shita Rav Huna. Now, I'm Rav Nachman, modina di shamit va'achel, lo mafkin aminei. Now, Rav Nachman will say that here's why I will agree. And that is that if he grabs it and he eats it, so then we don't take it away from him. So, in other words, if there's a tfisa, so I'll give you that. But generally speaking, I'm of the position that there is no kinyan. Rav Amar, Rav Huna Amar Rav. Okay, so that was Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is the case of the selling of the fruit of the palm tree. Just happens to be that the fruit isn't here yet, but we're making the transaction right now. According to Rav Huna, it works. Next, the cheat of Rav. Ha'omer l'chaveru sadezesh ani lokech lek kishe ekachena knu yalach. Look, I'm going to buy a piece of property. I'm ready to sell you the property right now. I don't currently own it, meaning my intention is to buy it, but I'm going to flip it. And so right now, I'm ready to sell you the flip, even though I currently don't own it right now. So does that work? So if you asked Rav, the answer is it works. So lekech ekachena knu yalach mi'achshav. So kana. So it works. In other words, the kinyan actually is going to take effect, even though you haven't actually purchased the property yet, but you could sell it on the future that when you buy it, it will then be sold and then it will then be flipped. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Chia. Now, Rabbi Yanai also is in line with this thinking, meaning so far we've done Rav Huna, we've done Rav, we're up to Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Chia, the Rabbi Yanai, Havalei Arisa, Dave Maisele, Kinta Deperi, Komale, Shabasa. So Rav Yanai had a sharecropper, and the sharecropper would bring to him the fruit every Erev Shabbos. Okay? A sharecropping relationship, we all know. In other words, what you have is you have a field, then you hire your sharecroppers, and the sharecroppers are going to be collecting a percentage. What percentage? Whatever the negotiated percentage is. Sometimes a third, sometimes a quarter, sometimes a half, whatever the percentage is. And so what the sharecropper did is he went out to the field, and he collected in, and normally he brings it on Friday. How So what happened is that one fateful Friday where Rabbi Yanai usually expects the sharecropper to come in on Erev Shabbos with a whole bunch of fruit. So he came in late. And now normally what the sequence of events is Friday afternoon events for Rabbi Yanai is that the sharecropper comes in with his fruit. Right. Obviously Rabbi Yanai's percentage, meaning he's the owner. So with his fruit, takes off Trumas and Maestros and he has a wonderful Shabbos. Right, enjoying the fresh fruit every Shabbos. What happened on this fateful Friday is that our sharecropper came in late, and Rav Yanai was all nervous. And so, what did he do? Aser mi peri debesa alaihu. And so, what he did is that he took off trumas and maisos on fruit that he currently has in his home, on the fruit that will be coming at a later point in time. So, to be mafresh trumas and maisos on fruit that are not currently here, but that will come in the future. So he went to Rabbi Chia and he said to Rabbi Chia, "Nu, did I do the right thing?" Rabbi Chia says, "Yesher koach, perfect. What you did was great." Did Tanya? I'm going to address your question. That's a great question. I'm going to address it. Did Tanya? We learned in the Brisa, "Laman tilmad liras Hashem lokecha kol yamim." So the pasuk in Devarim and Parshas Re'eh, which is quite frankly a general pasuk of Yiras Hashem. That we are supposed to have Yiras Hashem, Mishnah Berurah. The beginning of Mishnah Berurah brings down six mitzvahs that are with us at all times, that we can be mekayim at every single moment during the day. Okay, right. Once upon a time, I had a magnet on my fridge that had all six. Okay, don't know where the magnet is, and now ask me, put me on the spot right now. What are the six mitzvahs that you could do all the time? Okay, I love Hashem, fear Hashem. Okay, the other four. Okay, anyway, we have a daf to learn right now. Okay, so. I'd rather fail the test at a later point in time. So anyway, so Laman Tilma Liras Hashem Lakecha Kol Hayamim. So Yiras Hashem. But anyway, but it does, the pasuk does say Kol Hayamim, and the Gemara understands El Shabbosos VeYamim Tovim, meaning that we're supposed to have Yiras Hashem not just on Sunday through Friday, but Shabbos as well. Yiras Hashem. So what does that mean? Yiras Hashem on Shabbos as well. So Lamai Hilchasay Leimelai Surei Mechal Isur Kral Lemishrei Tilto De Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about to take off Trumas and Maisos and to eat it? I need a Pasuk Itzter Chala Mishra Toto De Rabbanan. What are we talking about over here? So we're talking about at worst an Isra of Muksa, meaning it is an Isra of Muksa. And so even though obviously it's an Isra De Rabbanan, we're not allowed to do it, but the Pasuk is not going to inform us about that. Ella, top of the Amud Beis, Lavki Hai Gavna. It must be talking about the following. Meaning, look at Rashi on the top of the Amud. The Mutar La'aser, Amasha Lo Ba'la Olam, V'ase Lavo, L'tzorach Onik Shabbos. So for the purposes of Onik Shabbos, so what I could do is that we can take off Trumas and Maestros on a future. Okay, so the, because Onik Shabbos is so significant. Okay, from Rashi, the impression certainly we get is that Onik Shabbos, meaning we're all familiar with Onik Shabbos, that part we all knew, but is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? Where does it say that we have to be ma'anig in Shabbos? So it's a pasuk, but it's not a pasuk in Chumash, it's a pasuk in the Navi. So the Navi Shayahu says, at the end of the Sefer tells us that we have to be ma'anig, that we have to enjoy Shabbos, right? I think, I don't know if I'm right, the word onig and enjoy are basically the same word. Okay, I could be right. So anyway, so I will tell you. I've said this in the past. To enjoy in Spanish is disfrutar, which means basically fruit. In other words, that means to enjoy. Okay, back in the day, you know, what came for dessert was fruit. Meaning, unlike today, where we manufacture sugar and we and we eat it and it's delicious and it's unhealthy. So back in the day, so when they wanted to eat something sweet, so they would eat fruit, disfrutar. Anyway, so it happens to work out wonderfully in today's daf because the enjoyment of Shabbos is coming via fruit. Okay, wonderful. Anyway, the point is as follows. From Rashi, what it certainly sounds like is this idea of Onik Shabbos. It's a din d'oraisa. Because look at the flow of the Gemara according to Rashi. Meaning we have a pasuk in Parshas Ray Laman Tilman Li Rasa Shem Lechecha Kol Hayamim. The Gemara says, now what is the pasuk telling us over here? Is it telling us that you can be Mafra Shumas and Maestros on Shabbos? That's a din d'rabbanan. It's an Issa d'rabbanan. The pasuk over there is not going to speak to that. In other words, the pasuk is going to speak to inyane d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, so you know what it must be referring to? It must be referring to kiai gavna. Now, what is kiai gavna? So Rashi says, the fact that we have to enjoy Shabbos. It sounds like from Rashi that enjoying Shabbos is a din d'oraisa. Now, in of itself, that's fine. Meaning that could be a takeaway point from today's daf. It happens to be the Rambam could not write this point any clearer. And that is, the Rambam says that there are four mitzvahs as it relates to Shabbos. This is the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Shabbos, right? Either the 29th or the 30th perek. Okay, should have looked it up before. But anyway, the Rambam writes that there are four mitzvahs as it relates to Shabbos. Meaning, obviously, there's a lot more than four mitzvahs. But in terms of categories, so what are the four categories? Two of them are d'oraisa, and two of them are d'rabbanan. Right, the two d'oraisas are shamar v'zachor. The two d'rabbanans are kavod and oneg. So the Rambam could not write it any clearer. The Rambam says that Onik Shabbos is a din d'rabbanan. How does he read our Gemara over here? Good. I'm gonna leave that alone. Anyway, the point of all this is that when Rabbi Yonah sharecropper came in late and Rabbi Yonah started getting nervous, so what did he do? He was mafresh shumas amaisos on fruit that will come in the future. And so once again, it's a kinyan on davar shelo ba'al olam. I didn't forget about your question. Let's just finish up this one thread. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Yana went to bed that night, and he had a bad dream. Now, he dreamed about a reed, and the reed was bending. And what he assumed the dream meant, right, interpretation, is that that maybe he was bending the halach a little too much. So the Gemara says, kana ratzutz. So my love, hachi kamerle, he ne batach lecha al mishenes deha kana ratzutz hazeh. Now he was thinking of the pasuk in Malachim Beis, right? I wish I was like this, meaning I saw something in my dream. I'm thinking about Malachim Beis. I wish. Okay, so anyway, so he was thinking about the pasuk in Malachim Beis. It's like, in other words, you're trying to walk on a cane, and it turns out the cane is not something stiff and able to support you, but it's a reed. And you put the cane down, and it's bending, and it's no good. So that's what he's thinking about. So the Gemara says, no. So, hachi kamer le kaner ritzos lo yishbor upashta kea upasasa kea lo yichabena. So the Gemara, he says, no, don't think about the pasuk in Malachim. Think about the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, you know what's great about a reed? It bends, but it doesn't break. No, that's what you should be thinking about. Okay, anyway, dream aside, what you did was good. Says Rabbi Chiya to Rabbi Yanai. Okay, now again, all this is within the school of thought of, you can make a kinyan on the davar shelo bal olam. Let me go back to Ben's question. Okay, the sharecropper is coming on Friday, and it's not yet in Rabbi Yanai's house, and so therefore he doesn't own it. And so can he take off Trumas and Maisos on it, even though it's not here yet? So again, according to Rabbi Yanai, the answer is yes. Okay. The sharecropper was in whose field? I happen to like this discussion. So the sharecropper was in whose field? Presumably Rabbi Yanai's field. Okay. Now, if it's Rabbi Yanai's field, so even though it didn't get to Rabbi Yanai yet, isn't it his? So Tosos is of the position. Tosos, you're going to see the bomb Tosos over here on the Amud Aleph. Omer reed the Mishal Aris Hava Shayanosin LeRabbi Yanai. Okay, fine. So Tosfos says that I'm of the thinking. This is Tosfos writing. I'm of the thinking that this was a sharecropper's property. Now, why is a sharecropper? Yeah, why is a sharecropper bringing produce every week from his property over to Rabbi Yanai?
Sharecropper is only working on somebody else's field, and that's why he's sharing the crop. No?
So it would seem that, in other words, and from Rashi, it's not clear, but it would seem that you could offer a different way to understand the Gemara, and that is, that's Rabbi Yanai's property. Okay, fine. In other words, then that goes in line with Tosos. Okay, perfect. So, but what you can say is that the sharecropper was in Rabbi Yanai's property. And although this would be novel, but what you can say is that as long as you contract with the sharecropper, even though the sharecropper is obligated to give you a percentage, meaning it's your property, but in other words, in terms of that which he gathers, it may be halachically his until he gives it to you, meaning he owes it to you, obviously, but maybe in terms of kinyanim, as he goes and he harvests, maybe all of it halachically, legally becomes his. And then, obviously, with the obligation that he has to pay you. You could say that. Again, that's a little bit more novel. Tosfos is not ready to accept that at all. Okay, anyway, but...
What if the sharecropper was harvesting, like, the produce all week long, and he delivered on Friday? So, basically, it was actually there to be his.
Okay.
It just had not been delivered yet.
Okay, fine. Again, Tosfos is not ready to listen to hear any of that. Well, Tosfos disagrees with that point. Tosfos writes very clearly that if it's his property, it's his fruit, so it can't be talking about that case. That's clearly Tosfos' position. Okay, let's finish off. We're almost done. So far, Rav Huna, Rav, Rabbi Yanai. Yeah, I'm good. Right? Rav Huna, Rav, Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Chiya. So they're all of the opinion that you can make a kinyan on davar shelo bal olam. We're not done. We got more to go. Rebbe, Ditani, we're up to Shitas Rebbe, Lo Sasker, Evid, Al Adonav. So the Pasuk in Parshas Ki Seitzei says, you're not allowed to do something with an Evid. Now the Pasuk itself is really unclear. Lo Sasger, Evid, El Adonav. What does that mean? A number of interpretations. The Gemara in Kedushin goes through a number of them. Anyway, Rebbe gives one interpretation, one of a couple. So Rebbe, Omer, Belokech, Evid, Amanasa, Shachra, Akasa, Medaber. It means the following, that you plan on purchasing an Evid, but with the clear plans of freeing him after you purchase him. Now, both of those are kinyanim. But the second kinyan of freeing him is only going to be after you purchase him. But nevertheless, you contract both of those prior in advance. That is a kinyan on davar shelo bal olam. Hechidami. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the kas of lei. Now, how do you do that, such a transaction? So you're right, in the contract. So when I purchase you, I will also then acquire you to you. meaning I'll sell you to you. Fine. So in other words, he tries to do both transactions in anticipation of his purchase. The second transaction obviously can only be predicated on the first transaction, but the first transaction hasn't occurred yet. Again, this is a kinyan on a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. And according to Rabbi, it works. Meaning the Torah says not to do it, but it works. It's effective. Rabbi Meir did not. Okay, we're almost done. We're up to Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah, Omer li sha'rei ha'mekadesh osu l'achash she'ezga yer l'achash she'tizkari, l'achash she'eshtachri, l'achash she'tishtachri, l'achash yamuz ba'alech, l'achash tamuz achosech, l'achash yachlus ha'yivimech, eino mekudesh, Rabbi Meir Omer, mekudesh. Okay, we already saw this earlier this morning. However, this Mishnah and Kedushin over here clearly articulates the position of Rabbi Meir. It works. Why? Because Rabbi Meir says that you can make a kinyan on a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov did tanya with Anton Bryce. Yes, okay, I'm Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Afilo mamar. Peros aruga zu tlushim yer truma. A peros aruga mechubarim. O peros aruga mechubarim. A peros zu tlushim. Lechesh yaviu shlish ve'yilosh ve'yiviu shlish. V'nitlushu dvarv kayamim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, look, I'm going to be mafresh trumas and maizos from this row onto that row. Meaning you're looking at the rows in your field. And even though the produce hasn't produced yet, right, the fruit hasn't grown or whatever you're looking to harvest hasn't grown yet, you can still make these kind of transactional stipulations even in advance. Okay? It couldn't be any clearer. And Rabbi Akiva did not kind of shani yosel aficha nisar chlaafir. Rabbi Akiva amir yafisher metadif alav yoser min arayilo. And as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, we go back to our Mishnah Nedarim. Second time this morning we're hearing the Mishnah Nedarim. A woman says to her husband, anything I make is going to be usher to you. So according to the Tanakhama, shoulder shrug, again, that is an obligation that the wife has to the husband. She can't make a neder against that is already mortgaged to her husband. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Akiva, no, there might be hadafa. Her earnings may exceed her mizonos, and therefore you have to be mefer. It's on a future. Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, I know, but you can make a kinyan on a future. Now, hopefully you'll think to yourself, wait one second, earlier this morning, didn't we say that the way to understand the Mishnah Nedarim is that it's not talking about the actual, that which you actually produce, but it's talking about your hands? Yeah, that was an interpretation of the Mishnah. But that interpretation was given by Rav Huna. The whole point of the balance of today's daf, meaning Sadi Gimel and Aleph is giving us one viewpoint, which is these Amoraim and Tanaim are of the opinion that you can make a kinyan on the Davar shel ba'al ha'olam. And in our current understanding of this Mishnah Nedarim, you don't need to modify the Mishnah. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, her neder can go, not just on her hands, but anything she produces in the future. She can't make it on the earnings that go up to mizonos. So you're right. But she could, but her neder can be chal, and that which exceeds the mizonos, and on that, it works. It's a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. Rabbi Akiva's like, yeah, that's right. And you can make a kinyan on a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. Perfect. Perfect place to stop. We're almost up to speed. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, Yavam accepting kedushin from another man. Does it take effect? Yes or no? Rav says no. And Shmuel is in a state of suffix. And the Gemara's conclusion is that we passed like Rav. Right? Nimnu v'gamru. They had a vote. They decided that the halacha is in fact like Rav. Okay. The Mishnah would certainly indicate this because the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah kedushin. The Gemara quote on the bottom of Sadi Beis and Beis would indicate that. The Mishnah there describes accepting chalitza, trying to be Mekadosh a woman post-chalitza. Because while she's a Yavama, the Kedushin is not going to take effect. Okay. An alternative way to explain the Mishnah is that it doesn't work because it's a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. That's an alternative way to explain it. The Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Kiva says you can make a kinyan on a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. And the entirety of today's daf, Tzadi Gimel, here in Yavamos, is there are a collection of Amoraim and Tanaim, Rabbi Kiva being one of them, who says that you can make a kinyan on a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. So if that's the only thing standing in our way, so according to Rabbi Kiva, that wouldn't be a problem. What must be the problem? Problem is that there is no Tfisas Kedushin by Yavama. But then, just to go full circle in today's daf, if the Mishnah Kedushin is going like Rabbi Kiva, so it doesn't inform us anything about our original discussion today. Meaning we're trying to learn that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by Yavama, meaning not Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint. Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint is the unaccepted viewpoint that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by any Lavin. We want to know that for those of us who, meaning the accepted halacha is that generally there is tfisas kedushin by chayv elavin. So what about yavama? It may be exceptional. That's Rav's point. Rav's point is that this is an exception to the rule. And if the mishnah kedushin is going like Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't help our particular case.